Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for good worship. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Greetings from Aggieland. I got some Aggies. I was waiting to hear that. I grew up in Midland, did a little time in Aggieland, and then did 14 years in Brownwood, Texas. We call it Browntown. And as lead pastor now, I'm back in Aggieland about 8 weeks, back at the church that I served at before. So God is good, and excited about our future. Excited about the future of your church as well. I called Stan Leach a while back and said, I got a name for you. His name's Jason Smith, and the rest is history. I recommended Jason. So I think God has certainly, no doubt, called he and Lane here. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for them, as I know you have been and will continue to do that. But we talk about perseverance and finishing strong in the Christian life. The metaphor here is a race, that the Christian life is like running a race. And so I remember field days in elementary school. You with me? Remember field days? Yeah, for us, it was softball throw and 50-yard dash and toe sack race for us older folk. Maybe I'm sure it's changed since then. They probably still do those. But I came in one day in elementary school, and my mom knew it was field day, and she was, hey, how'd everything go? And I didn't say a word. I went back to my room, and she gave me a few minutes, went down and said, what's going on? You seem like you're down. And I was sitting on the end of the bed, and I just pointed to the ribbons that were on the bed. And I said, the ribbons. And she said, well, man, there's a beautiful white one. There's a really nice red one. And look at all these green ribbons that you won. Are you with me? I said, Mom, green means participant. Hello, if you are in the event, everybody gets a green one. So I really only won two ribbons. Okay, I know you can't tell by looking at me. I was looking at me now. I was not a great athlete, obviously, way back in the day even. But I told her, I said, and I'm down. I'm kind of sad because I'm not satisfied with just being in the event, being a participant. I want to win. I'd like to get a blue ribbon one of these days. And I've always remembered that. And so I think about in the Christian life, here's the question for me today, and perhaps here's the question for you today. Are you satisfied with just being a participant in the Christian life? Are you satisfied with just being in the race? Or do you want to run to win? Do you want to persevere? Do you want to finish strong? Look what he says, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We come to you because we desperately need you. Pray for my brother and friend Jason, for Lane, for all the family, for his mom and his side of the family. God, I just ache for them. And so going through a difficult time with his dad, and I pray that you would strengthen them as only you can. Also, I pray that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, what you want us to know today through the worship and the teaching of your word. All for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, look how he starts this. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, he's reminding them about what he just talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. It's always important to understand the context. He's saying there's some great Old Testament. He just listed out all these Old Testament saints, Old Covenant saints who persevered, who finished well, who finished strong. And listen, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit in them 24/7. We do. And so now what he's saying at the beginning of 12 is you can be a witness to someone as well. You celebrate the witnesses God has given you, flesh and blood people that have been strong in the fight and in the race, and he's challenging them, you can be a witness as well. So how can we be that witness? Look what the first thing he says. He said you need to lay aside a couple of things. Look what he says at the beginning of verse 1. He says, we have these witnesses surrounding us. Let us lay aside, and it's two things, every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And he says two things here. You have to lay aside not just one thing. Now listen, don't lose me on this. Lay aside sin. And for example, we can name a couple of sins in Ephesians 5. It says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know what that really, I think we can still go there and go, it's a sin to get drunk. But it really means, listen, don't let anything control you except the Holy Spirit of God. Fill in the blank. That's a lot of stuff, okay? So we can identify sin. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Don't date or marry someone that isn't a follower of Christ. So we can point to sin, and in many ways we go, I get it. But here's where I think we can take that next level in the race, and we can get a leg up, so to speak, is when he uses the word encumbrance. Now, what does he mean by the word encumbrance? It's not a word that we use every day, but look what it says in a couple of other translations, perhaps the translation you're reading from this morning. It says, throw off everything that hinders. Throw off everything that hinders. Another translation says, lay aside every weight. There are some things that will hinder you, will weigh you down, will slow you down, will trip you up. Listen to me. They are not sin. They are not sin. So this is where we don't get to be legalistic, all right? We can be a little bit legalistic with sin. But there, this encumbrance idea is when the Holy Spirit tells me, Tim, this isn't sin, clearly, but it's something that's tripping you up. It's something that's hindering you in the race and in your walk with the Lord, and you need to get rid of it. For example, basketball players, if you go to pregame, they've got their sweats, you know, when they're warming up, but they don't play in sweats, do they? Because it would trip them up. They take the sweats off to play. So for you and me, what might be some things that would be an encumbrance, something that might cause us to slow down or might hinder us or might be a weight around us? Just give you a couple of examples. Now, some of you would go, well, I don't struggle with that. But some people do. Here it is, movies. Certain things you watch on television are movies you would go to. And I think the big test would be, is it okay if Jesus watches that movie with you? That's a pretty good test. Now, again, we're not legalistic here, but I know some people, they've totally got rid of their television. How many of you have said or heard say, man, I got 300-something channels, there's nothing really good on TV. There's nothing helpful on TV. It's all a bunch of junk. You ever heard that say that? Well, some people, because they felt the Holy Spirit revealed to them, look, you're too locked into these movies and locked into these shows, these reality shows or whatever, and they've gotten rid of their TV. I'm not saying you need to do that, but that's something they've done because that becomes a hindrance in their life. It's not a sin to watch movies. It's not a sin to watch television, you know. Another one would be, man, technology's great. Listen, if we lost our iPhone, we would be in a puddle of tears, you know, or our iPad or something. You know, we're so locked into that technology. For example, Facebook. Now, I'm not an Instagram tweeter. I don't really do any of that other stuff. I don't even know what a lot of that stuff is. But I do Facebook, and I've got to be careful that I don't spend more time on Facebook than I do in the Word of God. You follow me? That I need to be careful because it's not a sin to be on Facebook, but it will become a sin if I spend way too much time on Facebook and I don't get into the Word of God or read some books or go down the street and minister to someone who's really in need because I'm so locked in to technology. Lay aside two things. Listen, don't miss this. The Holy Spirit tells you this. Things that are sin, that don't honor the Lord, and things that will weigh you down and trip you up, they don't honor the Lord. They will slow you down in the Christian race. Now, with sin and encumbrance to a minimum, because this side of heaven, you can't be perfect on that. Now you're in a position to do, we're in a position to do the second thing. Lay aside sin and encumbrance. Second thing, look what it says. Run with endurance the race set before us. So I want to run with endurance, right? Because the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You've heard that all your life. So here's the question. How do you run with endurance? There's only one way to run with endurance. And Brother James tells us that. It's right next to Hebrews, James chapter 1. Here is what produced. If you go, man, I want to run with endurance. I want to run strong. I want to get the blue ribbon. I want to finish well. I want to endure and finish strong. Well, here's what Brother James says. Look at verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Be joyful when you meet difficulty. Here it is in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Look at that with me. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, meaning mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. So listen, if you want to have endurance, if you want to run well in the race of the Christian life, you're going to learn how to endure to the end and win. You're going to have to go through some difficulty. I was leaving the hotel this morning, and the sweet lady, Vanessa, was behind the counter, and she asked me what I knew she was going to ask me. As I walked down, she goes, how are you doing this morning? Because that's what we do. We greet people. We go, how are you doing? And I told her, well, I don't really know. Did this just this morning. She went, what do you mean you don't really know? I said, well, I've got a little money in the bank. My wife and I are getting along great. Grandkids are well. Kids are well. Everybody's healthy. Things are going too great. I don't really know how I'm doing. But if it goes south, then I'll be tested and I'll know how I'm doing. She went, boy, that's right. I gave her a little philosophy there about this. I was thinking about this text. How are you doing? How are you doing in your life? Here's the point. I'll use an illustration. When I did youth ministry for years and years, we had a youth camp. Had a speaker get up. I've never forgotten this. He had a tube of toothpaste. I was sitting up close. I could tell. And he said, all right, young people, if I squeeze this, what's going to come out? And the young man on the front row said, Colgate. He went, you're right. Maybe. But what if I squeeze all of the Colgate out and I have this machine and I pump in peanut butter? Then, young people, if I squeeze this tube, what's going to come out? And a girl said, peanut butter. And he said, right. He said, here's the point, and don't ever forget it. And I've never forgotten it to this day. He said, young people, listen to me. Your walk with Jesus, you come into faith in Christ, and your walk with Jesus is so important because here's the deal. You say, I'm a Christian. We'll see. When the world, here's the question. When the world puts the squeeze on you, what comes out? When the world puts the squeeze on you, what comes out? You say you're a Christian. I can't judge that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But this whole text here is saying, you run with endurance, and James, you will be put to the test. In my life, here's my testimony. I don't have time to tell you all five of them or even one of them. About five things in my life really grew me to a deep walk with the Lord. Five things. Wish I had time to tell you all five. Five things grew me in a deep walk with the Lord Jesus. All five of them hurt. Are you listening to me? All five of them were painful. All five of them, when I'm in the middle, I'm literally on the ground. I'm crying and I'm begging God to deliver me. All five were painful. Nothing easy ever grew me to be like Jesus. Nothing easy ever grew me. So he says, now you run with endurance and you do that by being tested by the Lord. Now, when you're tested, where's your focus? When it all goes south and things are tough, they're great one day, and you get a phone call, Dad's not doing real well, you need to come, just like that, where do you look? Where's your focus? Look at the next scripture. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, what I love is, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read in a commentary years ago when I was studying the book of Hebrews, that phrase, fixing our eyes on Jesus, listen to what it is, a good phraseology or a good teaching from the Greek, is the author of Hebrews is saying this. Now listen, look away from and unto Jesus. You see, the author of Hebrews is assuming in life we're looking at other things instead of Jesus, that our default is to look at the things that are temporary, the things that are all around us, look away from those things and unto Jesus. He had to remind them because, listen, the people in Hebrews, they were tempted to go back to Judaism. They were having difficult persecution. He said, don't look at the persecution. Look away from these other things and look unto Jesus. So here are a few things I thought of, starting with P, the letter P, that we can focus on instead of Jesus if we're not careful. Here's the first one, politics. Politics. Some of you are a little sick at your stomach, depending on how you voted. Politics. But listen, the best I can tell by reading the scripture, here's absolute truth. this world and America not controlled by a donkey, not controlled by an elephant. America and this world is controlled by a lion, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you amen that. And if you agree with that, then we need to get our focus off of politics and onto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get them on the Lion of Judah. That's one thing that's really gotten our focus off of Christ lately. Second is this, pandemic. Pandemic. Now that represents circumstances that you or I can't control. I can't control pandemic. I didn't ask it to be here. I kind of love wearing the mask all the time. That's a lot of fun. That's my encumbrance, lying. I need to get rid of that. That's actually a sin. Okay? Circumstances beyond our control. Someone said once that I've remembered to this day, here's the cycle of life. You want to you're living on a planet, here's the cycle of life. You'll be glad you came to hear this sermon today after this, okay? Here's the cycle of life, every one of us here. You're either in the wilderness, you just got out of the wilderness, or you're about to go into the wilderness. Thank you very much. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Okay. That's life. You know, you want to live this life, here you go. You're either in the wilderness, you just got out of the wilderness, or you're about to go in. Some of you this morning, I could say, you're in the wilderness right now, and you would raise your hand and go, man, I'm in my crisis moment right now in my life. You would raise your hand. We could pray over you. Some of you, I say, you just got out of the wilderness, and you can get up here and give testimony of how God brought you out of that tough time. And then many of you today may be going, you know, it's all good, man. I mean, life couldn't be better. Be patient. Man, it couldn't get any better than this. Be patient. The tough times will come. The pandemic. Here's another one, the past. Go to Philippians chapter 3. The past. Philippians chapter 3. I love what the Apostle Paul says here. And in verse 10, he's really speaking about perseverance. But he also gets to this idea that he's got to let go of the past. Look what it says in 10. Great truth we sang about knowing him in that last song. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's all about finishing strong. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Here's the text, verse 13. Therefore, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do to move forward, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude. Paul's saying, I cannot move forward, listen to me, until I let Jesus handle the past. And some of us are focused on the past still. We've been focused on it a long time. We got to help, let the Holy Spirit help us let that go so we can focus on the upward call of God in Christ. Here's another one. People, others in the race, comparison with one another. Honestly, our default, if we're honest today, okay, you don't have to be honest. I'll be honest, okay? Many times we compare to how we're doing when we look at other people. Here's the problem. If you compare to others, you can always find someone worse than you. Think about it. You're not doing that great. It's like, man, I'm not really running the race well, and I'm really struggling spiritually, but I'm better than that dude over there. I'm ahead of that girl over there. You know, focusing on comparing to one another, we forget the measuring stick is Jesus, and we measure against one another. And many of us, because of that, we live for the applause of men. True story. When I was in seminary, I was at a church, music and youth director, and got a phone call. I'm wet behind the ears. I'm green. I don't know what's going on. I just started seminary, hadn't had many classes. And one of the deacons that I really respected called me up on the phone, hey, what's going on? And his voice is shaking, and he's upset. And I could tell he was upset. And here's what he told me. He said, you know, my wife and I got to thinking, and I just wanted you to know, I think it's important that you know, that you have called on brother so-and-so to pray more than you've called on me to pray this year. Did y'all hear what the dude told me? He said, you've called on brother so-and-so more to pray in the worship service than you've called on me to pray, and I don't appreciate it, and you need to call on me more often to pray in the service. I'm going, do what? I mean, I'm trying to think. Seminary hadn't prepared me for this. True story. I found out later that these two men, their whole life had been in competition with one another, focusing on other people instead of focusing on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4. I want you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they didn't have a lot of unity at that time. And if the very beginning, some people say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, meaning this person won me to the Lord, that kind of thing. And they were pitting personalities against each other. And the ones that, you know, weren't led to the Lord by Paul, they didn't like Paul, and they were critical of Paul. They had a critical spirit. Look how Paul answered that the temperature of the room on that deal in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Look what it says. I love this. It says, but to me it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. He's saying, look, I don't know you don't know my heart. You don't examine me. I don't even know my own heart. I don't examine me. One person examines me. I'm accountable to one person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would do well to get our eyes off people and on to the Lord. Here's the last one, performance. Performance. Am I doing enough? Some of you are great workers for the kingdom of God, but you're really into performance a lot. And went to discipleship training years ago, and here's what Billy Beecham, the trainer, said. I've never forgotten it. He said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And if you're too busy to spend time with God, you're busier than he intends for you to be. And what he meant by that is you're going to discipleship training. You're the cream of the crop, man. We're the sharp people in the church. We're there to get a little more sharpening. And we don't maybe have these major sins in our life. And he was just saying, look, Satan knows he can't make you bad. There's not a sin that's trapped you. You're not deep in some unconfessed, unrepented of sin. But what you are is you're way too busy even doing church things and Christian things to be at the feet of Jesus. You haven't spent time with the Lord in an intimate way in a long, long time. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Performance. Am I doing enough? Now, our tendency... the second tendency, because the first one is, what are you looking at? How are you getting distracted? The other tendency is we don't focus on the goal. Here's what the goal is. Romans 8, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So God's will for you, every one of you here, is to look more like Jesus every day. And secondly, in Philippians 3:14, we read it earlier where Paul says, I forget the past and here's what I do. Now watch this. I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That, my friends, is holiness. We get our mind on all these other things of the world and around us, and we forget to focus on being like Jesus and walking in holiness. It's real important we understand this. He says, so that I can press forward, not for heaven. He knows he's going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus. He knows that, okay? He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ. So, all of us here, we're not pressing to get to heaven. The work to get to heaven was Jesus. He did the work, so I don't have to do that. The work I've got to do is the work of holiness, and the Holy Spirit does that in and through me. I press on to look more like Jesus and walk in the holiness of Christ. And when I look to Jesus, I'm able to focus on Jesus. Here's what I see, the last part of verse 2. I recognize him, look what it says, as the author and the perfecter of faith. Listen to me. Don't put your faith in faith. Put your faith in Jesus. Can't tell me how many times I've heard people say, man, that person had a strong faith. Don't put your faith in your faith. Put your faith in Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. Salvation is a work of God, the Holy Spirit, and His Son. And then the second thing here we see is, when I look to Jesus, not only I see that salvation is a work of God, but the joy set before Him, He endured. He endured in two ways. Look at this. He despised the shame. He despised the shame. I've been to the Garden of Gethsemane a couple of times in Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem. How many of you have been to the Garden of Gethsemane? Am I the only? I didn't think I was the only one. One of the most meaningful places to be in the Holy Land, in my opinion. Because I'm always thinking about that. Jesus was there and He sweat drops of blood and He said, "Father, is there any other way than for me to go to the cross? Let this cup pass from me." And the Father said, "Son, there's no other way." And He despised the shame. What shame? Despised the shame and said, "Not my will, but Your will be done." The shame was He was going to take on the sin of the entire world. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5 said He was going to become sin. He was going to become sin. And then secondly, He knew He would cry out at some point, never losing relationship. Something that's a debate a little bit, but my take is never losing relationship, but lost some fellowship with the Father. My God, why have You forsaken me? Habakkuk says that God can't look upon sin. He's too pure, He's too holy. He had to turn His back on His Son. Despising the shame. And then look at this. Set down at the right hand of the Father. You know what that is? That screams victory. Sitting down means it's finished. The work is done. At the right hand of the Father is that it is victory. And matter of fact, if you're in the wilderness right now and you're going through some tough times, many of us probably are. I got two good words for you, okay? The Holy Spirit and Jesus, and here's why I mean by that. If you were to go to Romans 8, see, and even Jason, a lot of people praying for him. You've got a struggle. The pastors here will pray for you. Your small group will pray for you. Anybody that loves the Lord you go to say, "Would you pray for me?" They'll pray for you. But Romans 8 says you have two people. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are praying for you right now. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit and Jesus pray for you, intercede for you. Romans 8. All the promises of God are yes, where? In Christ Jesus. So He's challenging them. You can as well be a cloud of witness. You can be one of those witnesses that can be a great testimony for others. Y'all probably have somebody in your life that you can point to that say, you know, it's one thing for Jesus to live it, but when you see a flesh and blood human being be a strong witness and finish well and finish strong, that really speaks to you. And my guy, I've got several, but one I'm going to share this morning before I close out is a guy named Tony Daniel. Tony was the FCA director for the area around Brownwood, Texas. I came from Brownwood and went. I've been at Aggieland for about 8 weeks now. But was in Brownwood, and Tony was one of our deacons. I always knew he was a godly man, man. I just always watched him live so faithfully for the Lord. Well, he came down with a brain tumor, and it only took 3 months to take his life. And we knew it was not, we'd been by, my wife and I had seen him several times. We knew it was close to the end. And his wife, Debbie, called me one afternoon and said, "Hey, all the kids are here, the grandkids. Tony asked if you and Jamie could come and see him." Got the hospital bed in the living room, and we're starting to really going to feed him some morphine. And so while he's lucid, could you come now? I said, yes. We went immediately. So we walk in, knew the kids and the grandkids, but we walked in, and Tony couldn't speak real well, but he said, "Come here, Tim." And he said, "You get on that side, Jamie, you get on that side." He gave us instructions, he holding our hand. And he said, "I've called you over here because I want to pray for you." He said, "I'm going to die in a few days and I'm going to be gone. And one more time, I want to pray for my pastor. I want to pray for my church. I want to pray for my pastor's wife." And he led the most beautiful prayer for 20 minutes for me and Jamie and for our church. Now you think about that. That's the most time when I'm called and it's a few days before someone dies, it's so I can pray for them. This dude called me there so he could pray for me. Amazing. When it was finished, I prayed for him, and then I crawled up in the bed with him, in that hospital bed, and I got eyeball to eyeball with Tony Daniel. And I said, "Tony, listen, I want to thank you." He said, "What for?" I said, a lot of people show me how to live. You're showing me how to die. Thank you for dying well for Jesus Christ. Listen, he's a brother. 3 or 4 days later, he went to see the Lord, but he finished well for Jesus Christ. Listen, run to win is the point. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, don't you know that all those who run in a race, all run, only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. You want to persevere? You want to finish strong? It's all about where you put your focus. We're going to see a video, and I'm going to close out in prayer.